Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night right here on a Thursday, 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. And we are always on that 101.3 ESPN app, a free download in the Google Play Store and in the iTunes Store. And now streaming always on your Amazon Echo. And very excited because we've got a lot of great feedback. People have said, man, would love listening to you guys on the Echo. I've got my Alexa in my house, and we love listening to you. Adam in South Burlington tweeted that to us, or texted that into us yesterday as well. So if you have that Amazon Echo, if you have that smart speaker, just say enable 101.3 ESPN, and then we will pop on. And every time after that, all you have to say is open 101.3 ESPN. So however you are listening to us, and there's a wide range, we appreciate it. We go up until 6:25 today. And then it is Red Sox baseball. Sox taking on the Orioles. Kevin Gausman is on the mound for Baltimore. Mookie Betts enjoys going up against him. David Price is on the mound for Boston. We'll have those lineups for you about 15 minutes from now. It's going to be an interesting night for me. I've played tech guru all day today. I've been fixing internet connections. I've been fixing electronic devices. And anyone who's listened to the show over the year and a half that I've been here knows that I am about the furthest thing from handy, but this is about the handiest that I'm going to be here. I've fixed electronic devices. I have played tech guru. I have done so successfully so far today, and tonight I'm making dinner. I don't know that anyone will want to eat my dinner, but I am making it, and it's going to be simple. I cannot cook a lick. I am not proud of that. Jess is a great cook. I am appreciative of that. But she shouldn't have to do all the work. So rather than buy dinner, which is what I usually do, I will make dinner tonight. And it's only going to be pasta with ground beef, pasta with meat sauce. And that's about as basic as you can get. But it's still an accomplishment for me. So by the time I hit 30, maybe I'll be a mildly better chef. I did grill earlier. I can grill. I grilled earlier in the week. So now we're working on the traditional kitchen rather than the outside grill. So again, 6:25 we go up to. If you want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. A couple of notes on the Yankees and Robinson Cano. A couple of notes on the Patriots as well. But first, Brad Stevens is the answer. And I don't just mean in this series. I don't just mean for the Celtics. When we talked all offseason about the Red Sox hiring Alex Cora, and when we talked all offseason about the Yankees hiring Aaron Boone, and what did we hear? The reasons for those hires were they communicated well. They communicated better than their predecessors in John Farrell and Joe Girardi. They connected with the clubhouse more. The prototype that they're trying to follow is Brad Stevens. Look, Brad Stevens isn't a former NBA player in the way that Aaron Boone and Alex Cora are former MLB players. So it's not a perfect parallel. But the guy who can handle the front office but can also handle the players, and can communicate effectively with his team, that's what the Red Sox and Yankees were going for, and that is what Brad Stevens is nailed to a T. The players are all in on Brad Stevens. And the reason why is because Brad Stevens talks to them in a way that they respect, they appreciate, and that makes them better. And it comes to my mind perfectly. A lot of people are on Marcus Smart, and Rich has been on Marcus Smart all year, and he went 3 for 9 from the floor the other day, and he does take some not great shots at inopportune times. That is very much true, but somebody asked Brad Stevens, do you ever tell Marcus Smart to stop shooting? And he says, no, I never question shot selection because I know I would not have handled that well as a player. And that is something that resonates with players. When players are allowed to just be free and be themselves, and players are allowed to make mistakes without fear of constant repercussion, and they're allowed to grow as players, and they develop a comfort level. And that is what helps lead to success. Now, there are times to get on people, but there are also times to be supportive and allow players to grow. Al Horford said it too about Brad Stevens. He makes everyone on the team feel empowered to just go out and play. Actually, It wasn't Al Horford. It was one of his former players at Butler. Butler, who we took to two national championship games. He goes, he's not the kind of coach who pulls you if you make a mistake. You know what you're supposed to do because you do it day in and day out. And pretty soon, everyone on the team is pulling in the same direction. It doesn't matter who's hurt. And you don't think, oh, we're playing so-and-so. You just do what you're supposed to do. Al Horford did say that Stevens has done a great job developing young Celtic stars without breaking them. And that is the key. I will never forget this moment. And look, I was a player who was mentally weak, and I fully admit that. Coaches yelling at me got to me. Coaches who pulled me for making mistakes only compounded mistakes for me and made me make more of them. I didn't learn about sports psychology and mental conditioning and mental toughness really until I got into coaching, and it started being one of those things like I wish I had known that then. I was in high school, and I went to a school where I graduated with 750 kids in my class alone. 750 kids were in my graduating class. There were 2,900 in my 2,900 kids in my high school as well. Alec, our intern, is trying to answer the phone. The phone is not ringing anymore. Alec, so that's okay. Alec's like busting over. He's like, I heard the phone. The phone rang one time. So, and I got some texts here. We will keep reading here in a second. But I will not forget the moment. I was in high school, and again, I wanted to be good so bad. The school that I went to was huge, as I said, and everybody who made the team was... Alec, the phone is not ringing again. Oh, okay. Alec's moving. He's moving all over our studio now. So everybody who made the team was good. Everybody who was on a team deserved to be on the team, and therefore there's a lot of competition. If you weren't the true stud, then you were always replaceable. Senior year of high school, I finally got to the point where I had earned a starting spot in the rotation. I was a number three starter because we had a kid who ended up going Division I and a kid who went Division III who was better than me at the time. And senior night, I get to start. We're playing on a better field with lights. My family's there. My mom had been sick my whole basketball season. My mom had been in the hospital for a lot of the season. She was healthy enough to be at these baseball games, and she got to see me pitch. And I was terrified. I wanted to be good. And I pitched okay for the first three innings, gave up a couple of unearned runs, but nothing bad. And then, as usually was the case with me, in the fourth inning, I started to walk the ballpark. And when I struggled in high school, that's what I did. And the reason why, because super long and lanky, hadn't quite grown into my body. My mechanics were always off. And then you get nervous and it gets compounded. My coach came out to me and he said, if you walk another guy, you're out. And that was supposed to be a motivating factor. That was supposed to be a sense of urgency to attack the strike zone. And all it did was make me more nervous. And I ended up walking the very next guy. And then I was out. When I was in basketball, and I was much better at baseball than basketball, but you dribble a ball off your foot, you drop a pass, and all of a sudden you're taken out. I didn't handle that well. Brad Stevens is not the coach that does that. And when you're talking about professional players, I understand professional players are wired differently than high school kids. I get that. They should be able to handle criticism a little more. They should be able to handle constructive criticism a little bit better, because they're being paid a lot of money to be able to do so. It's their job at that point, not their passion. But Brad Stevens, the same principles of human nature apply. Brad Stevens is trying to get the best out of his players. And he knows that Marcus Smart might be wired in a way that it's not conducive for him to publicly question his shot selection. Or if you started to try to limit Marcus Smart and get him thinking too much about things on the offensive side, you lose the rest of Marcus Smart that makes him so special. His hustle, his defense. I loved reading what Horford had to say about Brad Stevens, because when he says he has developed Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, quote, without breaking them. That is important because human nature is such. The best coach I ever had said this. Some guys need a kick in the butt and some guys need a pat on the butt. That's just how people are wired. Brad Stevens seems to know which guys to respond to which treatment. And that is what makes a great coach to me. When a coach recognizes that it's not treating everybody the same, it's treating everybody individually how they need to be treated to perform the best. And think about it in your office. Wherever you work, listeners, if your boss comes on and yells at you, some guys respond to that. Some women respond to that. If your boss comes on and nurtures you and says, look, that's a mistake, here's how we move forward, some people respond much better to that. You have to identify who responds to what, and that's what Brad Stevens is able to do. Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. David on the Town for Tire text line says, what is that opening jam and beat for your intro music? Very nice. That's Till I Collapse by Eminem, the instrumental. Jeff in Plattsburgh, Brady, just add to your pasta sauce some garlic, fresh or dried basil, and Italian bread. Now, that sounds pretty good. Maybe I'll do that. Look, my skills are very, very limited. And again, this is embarrassing at 28 years old, but by 30, my goal is to be better. I can grill, you know, steak, burgers, hot dogs, steak tips, the basics. I understand that. I haven't tried to make ribs or anything. Then you get out there and I can ground beef, make tacos, etc. It's a very limited cooking existence for me. But I'm trying to expand my horizons. So today is pasta with meat sauce. And if I can get some garlic in there, then that would be good too. So again, Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN. Red Sox lineup's coming in about 5 minutes from now. You know, the more I thought about this, I have decided that Duke Dawson is the Patriots rookie I'm most excited to watch in 2018. And people are saying, Brady, who's Duke Dawson again? Well, he's the defensive back they took out of Florida, and they took him in the second round, and he had a good year last year, okay? 7 pass breakups. He returned an interception for a touchdown. He had 6 picks, including 3 touchdowns in his career. He's going to play the slot, likely, for the Patriots, and the slot has become one of the most important positions in football. The easy answer is, oh, I'm most excited to see Sony Michel because he's a running back. It's a sexier position. It's an offensive player. He's playing next to Tom Brady. But the Patriots had running backs. Running back wasn't a need for them. If they think Sony Michel was the best player available when they drafted him at 23, then fine. But running back wasn't a need. So, yeah, I'm excited for him, but not the most excited. The Patriots lost Malcolm Butler. They lost Johnson Badamosi. They had need at defensive back. And they drafted a guy who was the number one slot player in the draft. And the slot, just like the slot receiver, has become one of the most valuable offensive players in the game. The slot corner has become one of the most important players in the game, not just on defense, but in the game. As the Julian Edelmans and Danny Amendolas and Victor Cruz's continue to ascend in their importance in football, then you need guys to counteract those guys. You're not able to put a burly linebacker in the slot anymore. That just doesn't work in today's NFL. You need a small, shifty guy who can cover a small, shifty receiver, and that's what Duke Dawson is. I was reading a piece on him the other day about how excited he is to be in Foxborough and about how they plan on employing him. And they might even use him at safety a little bit. They could use him outside. So he can be a total jack of all trades for the Patriots. And for a team that did lose a top 50 corner in the league in Malcolm Butler and a guy who, you know, they lost Badamosi, who stepped in and filled in admirably last year when Stephon Gilmore was hurt, there's a real need. And I am excited to see what Duke Dawson brings to the Patriots. I think he's going to be fascinating. And I think if he plays out like they think he can be a vital contributor to a team that's trying to get back to the Super Bowl for a third straight year. I mean, in the slot last year, the Patriots were not good, okay? The guys who played out there, Eric Rowe, John Jones, Johnson Badamosi, they allowed 63 catches, nearly 900 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And they got ripped apart in the Super Bowl. So you had a need at that position, and Duke Dawson is the guy you're bringing in to fill that need. Sony Michel is great, but Duke Dawson is the guy I am most excited to watch play for the Patriots this year, and it's the most excited rookie rather, and it's really not even close. The offensive lineman, Isaiah Wynn, that's important. That's a need also. And I think he can do some good things if he earns a starting job. But Duke Dawson, I think, has a starting job. He's your slot corner, and it's an important position. Again, if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Red Sox, Orioles, the coverage starts, in about 6 minutes or so. Right now, though, lineups. All right, the Orioles, they come in horrible. 13-29. The Red Sox are 29-14. Kevin Gausman's on the mound. For as bad as the O's have been, he's over 500. He's 3-2 with a 3.18 ERA. He gets an extra day for the second time in as many starts. He starts a complete game a couple times ago in Oakland. He struggled over the weekend against Tampa, but again, he does have that extra day rest. Trey Mancini's in left, leading off, 271. Adam Jones is in center, 259. 7 homers, 21 RBIs. Manny Machado, he may not be an Oriole for long, but he's one of the best players in baseball. 342, 13 home runs, 38 RBIs. That leads Major League Baseball. Jonathan Scope hitting just 240, but recently off the DL. He is at second, hitting cleanup. Chris Davis, that bottomless pit of a contract. He's at first base, 170 his average. Mark Trumbo, also freshly off the DL, hitting 304. He's the DH and hits six. Danny Valencia, he's at third. Joey Rickard is in right. He hits eighth. And Andrew Susak is the catcher. No numbers on him. For the Sox, Mookie Betts in right. Andrew Benintendi in left. Hanley Ramirez at first. J.D. Martinez, the DH. Xander Bogaerts at short. A homer yesterday for both of them. Rafael Devers back in the sixth spot. He plays third. Brock Holt is at second. Sandy Leone is the catcher. And Jackie Bradley Jr. gets the start, hitting just 171. He hits ninth and is in center. All right, that will do it for us. Thanks for listening, everybody. Remember, tomorrow, 6:55, 7:55 a.m., you'll hear that Red Sox player of the day for our ultimate Fenway fan experience. You want to win that, we want to send you to Fenway. Thanks to intern Alec. Thanks to intern Kevin. For Rich, Arnie, I'm Brady, everybody. See you tomorrow. Go Sox.